This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Sabres penalty kill on the ice for another minute, 7 seconds. Granlin carries it in. Drops it back. Wenberg. Liljegren, far circle, one timer. Oh, what a glove save by Reimer. And he spun around and caught it out of midair. Are you kidding me?
James Reimer. First start with the Sabres went very, very well. He got a highlight reel goal, might be goal of the year.
Have you seen his hockey reference nicknames?
Oh, no. This is always
These are great. These were making the rounds on Twitter, and Joe brought them up this morning. He's got fantastic nicknames. Optimus Rhyme.
That's good.
The statue,
okay.
Busta Rhyme,
okay.
And the Rhyme Minister of Defense.
Yeah, those are all
really those are good. All so good.
Those are all good. He goes in his first start with the Sabres, 31 saves, a 939 save percentage, and then of course you heard that highlight save right there. Really, really good performance as the Sabres go 3-0 in their West Coast road trip. And for more on that, we go to the Western Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
I am well. How are you guys?
Doing very well. I mean, look at the Sabres. Honestly, Paul, like they have, outside of the poor start, they have been a good hockey team this year. Not great, but good.
Yeah, no, there have been times, they finally had to figure it out. Lindy Ruff had to figure out what he needed to do with them and for them. And, once they figured all that out, they've gone on a nice run here, 7-2, and you look at the run that they're actually on, and it's some of the numbers are some of the best in the National Hockey League right now over that time. They have the best penalty kill. They're number two in points percentage. They're number four on the power play, and if you remember, when they weren't doing well, their special teams, both of them were in the low 20s, like 29, 27, something like that. And it just goes to show you how important special teams are because, they go on this 9-game run and their special teams are number one and number four.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Why.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. A lot of the recent success too, Paul, something that has continued to jump out at me, they're doing it without Tage, who was a guy we talked about when he first got hurt. I don't know if they can sustain this. You were saying it too. You can't lose him for long periods. And it's only been, what, 5 games that they haven't had him for? But to go 4-1 in that stretch, that's impressive. That's good.
Yeah, especially when, you know, he's your leading goal scorer and had played such an important role with the team. So that, and I still don't think they could survive without him for a couple of months, but in a short-term situation, it's given them the opportunity to see Kulik at center, something that Lindy Ruff wanted to see, and it's gone real well. I mean, I think he's done what he did in Rochester. He's been better at center than he was at wing, and in Rochester, he was a good winger, but then they put him at center, and he was even better, you know, and I think he is a better centerman. Now, I don't know what you do once Thompson gets back. That's a problem Lindy Ruff can figure out, and a good problem to have. But, you know, it's allowed them to, you know, have that opportunity too.
You know, Paul, we came in that with that Reimer highlight there. And obviously, James Reimer is not going to be, you know, this, you know, 30, 40 game guy. But at the same time, if you have something in there where it's a 20 game at most backup goaltender, you can leave Devin Levi in Rochester and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who has played well before in these high volume scenarios. It looks like a good situation the Sabres have kind of fallen into here, right?
Yeah, well, you know, after one game, yes. You know, I don't get
right,
too
that is
carried
true.
Away
it is,
over,
it is
over
one game.
One game. But what I do give him a lot of credit for is to keep himself ready. That was only his third game since training camp started, because he never got any preseason games. Then he got the two games in Anaheim. Neither one went extremely well numbers-wise. Now, I'm not going to tell you I watched the game, so I don't know exactly how they went down for him. But, you know, those are the only games he's played. And to be able to step in and play the way he played and to be ready in that situation, I think is a huge credit to him.
And then, Paul, real quick, I did want to bring up this stat here because I saw it this morning, and it just the grin on my face as I was reading it. The even strength NFL defenseman points. Power's no longer one, but him and Bo Byram are 2-3. I mean, that's something as well. You want, of course, probably Dahlin to be up on that list as well, but to be able to have all three of those quote-unquote offensive defensemen be up there is fantastic for this guy. He's going long-term.
Yeah, it's. I didn't even realize Byram was up there until I checked today to see if Power was still number one. And I saw Makar is now 1 point past him, and then I saw Byram was number three. So that, you know, just goes to show you, too, they're getting production out of their defensemen, which is something that really we haven't seen in a long, long time. You know, the defense as a whole, yeah, you've seen it out of Dahlin. But, you know, as a defense as a whole, you know, I think that's something that really has, you know, done a big thing to help them move forward, too. I can think of two plays in this trip for both players. First, Power, you know, he stops a rush and immediately gets the puck up ice to Zucker, who had a breakaway, and he scored. But it was just like, bang. All right, we kill the play, up ice, and he springs him. Byram does the same thing with Krebs. He's at the blue line, steps up, kills the rush, immediately finds Krebs heading up ice on the left wing side, starts a 2-on-1. Krebs walks in, scores on the 2-on-1. I mean, and that just gives to those are just two plays where kill the play, up ice quickly, kill the play, up ice quickly with great passes. And, you know, that's another thing that they're doing much, much better than I've seen them do in years.
Paul, also looking at how this affects the rest of the team, too. Looking at a guy like Rasmus Dahlin, who might not be as, you know, up there in terms of points with these guys or things like that. But it kind of, does it take pressure off him as, you know, in years past, he's been the guy, right? Now it's, hey, Power's stepping into his role and Byram's stepping up as well. I feel like it's a nice way to take pressure off the new Sabres captain.
I think what helps take pressure off the Sabres captain is they're getting results, the winning. And because that's why he gets so crazy, because he just wants to win so badly that he loses his head and then, you know, things go south on him and he doesn't play well. And I think the fact that, you know, as a team, they're playing better, that it doesn't make him think, we've lost four in a row. I got to do something here. I got to be the guy, you know. And then he tries to do too much, and then he gets upset, and then he loses his head. And, you know, now I think, you know, I think it really does help him that they're on this little bit of a run of 7-2. And that does take some pressure off him, because not only are his defensive teammates doing well, but it's a five-man unit playing defensive hockey. And you're getting good goaltending. I mean, Luukkonen's won five games in a row. So you're getting good goaltending. And, but part of the good goaltending, and Luukkonen has talked about this, is the players in front of him. You know, they're playing much better, which means he's not getting as many breakaways. He's not getting as many 3-on-0s, or 2-on-0s, or 3-on-1s, or the rest of it, or surprise shots when you're not thinking you're going to get a shot. He's not getting as many of those, so that helps him play better. But that's what I think helps Dahlin is just that his teammates around him are playing better, and that I think maybe would help him relax a little bit.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. The Sabres not back in action until Wednesday when they host the Minnesota Wild. Paul, looking around the rest of the Eastern Conference, particularly the Atlantic Division, no one has really, I mean, we've talked about this, no one is really separating themselves. It is not like years past where it was Toronto, Boston, Tampa, and then Florida as well. Just they're gone. Everyone else is just left by the wayside. The Sabres are 5 points away from Toronto. They're 2 points away from Florida. All of them have played 21 games. Even goal difference as well. Sabres are +4. Fuller's at +2. Toronto's at +12. It does seem like a year. I know Brayton brought up the stat last week as well of what, like 77% of teams have made the playoffs if they're sitting in a position come Thanksgiving. But this does also, the East is sort of lining up where the Sabres are playing ball with everybody and keeping themselves alive here.
They are, because what's been happening by Thanksgiving is, all right, you're 7 points down, which you're okay. That's not a, you can make that up, but you got to be in ninth place to make that up, you know, right on the heels of the eighth place team. And then maybe they'll go on a streak where they're not playing so well, and you go on a streak where you are, and you can make up those points. The problem is when you're 7 points back and there's six teams to hurdle. And that's what they've been in almost every year by Thanksgiving, where they're down, they're behind, but they got to get past six teams just to get to the team that's in the playoffs. And six teams are just not going to go in the tank for you. Even as hot as you want to get, somebody's going to get hot too. And then you're not going to get by them all. So I think that's the most important thing right now is they're in position now. The teams are chasing them. And, yeah, Tampa Bay right now is out of the playoff race, but they have two games in hand on the Sabres. But they got to win those games. You know, the games in hand don't mean anything if you don't win them. Jeremy was pointing out earlier that the Sabres have those points now. Mm-hmm. And now they've put Tampa in a position where they have to win some games to catch them, you know, because the Sabres already have those points. So, You know, it's just a much better situation, even though the Lightning have two games in hand, and Buffalo has one game in hand of Boston. They're tied in points. Buffalo is in the third position, while Boston is in the second wild card because of tiebreakers. But Buffalo does have a game in hand on Boston. But you got to win that game if you want to make it count.
So, Paul, looking at, you know, how the standings break down and everything like that, it also makes you look at the Sabres' previous wins. And I'm looking back here at just the last three, but you could also look at, honestly, look at their last five. They've all been very close wins where the Sabres have had to come back and win it towards the end or right at the end or just hold up. I mean, looking at the LA one specifically, when's the last time you saw the Sabres hold out in a 1-0 win? I mean, that was a very hard-fought game for the team that they haven't had in recent years. Is this the Lindy Ruff effect kind of finally taking shape into this team, or are these players finally playing consistently? I mean, that's one of the things that they've had issues with over the past few years, but it seems like things are kind of working themselves out, whichever the case may be.
Well, sure, it's Lindy Ruff. And the Los Angeles game was impressive. I thought it was a gutty win because they didn't get frustrated with the way Los Angeles was playing them. They knew the Kings were going to play that way, so they knew they were probably going to have to be patient in that game and not start going, oh, geez, it's 0-0. It's the middle of the second period. Let's start making wild passes and let's start, doing this or doing that. And then those turn into turnovers and they go the other way. That's exactly what the Kings want you to do. They're trying to put you trap you into thinking, all right, I'm impatient. I got to do something here, and then you do something dumb and then the Kings will pounce on you. And the Sabres didn't do that. They stayed patient. After 40 minutes, I'm sure they were just fine. It was 0-0. It's like, okay, we're fine. Now let's go into the third period. And they did it very early in the third period because they had a power play and they got the goal. So I just thought it was a gutty performance, and it is two different types of games that you're playing. I mean, that Reimer save, I don't think they beat San Jose without that save, because if he doesn't make that save, it's 3-1 Sharks. And then I think it's back-to-back, it's 3-1, everybody's into it, but that save just rises everybody. You get energized on the bench, and it's still 2-1. And lo and behold, you get two quick goals, and now you're ahead 3-2, and you win it 4-2 on the empty netter. But so there's a different way that they score. They're finding different ways to win on different nights, depending on what's going on, and I think that's key also.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Tour Hotline. Sabres not back in action until Wednesday night at home against the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota may not have Kirill Kaprizov. Got an MRI this weekend. Appears to be day to day. Paul, feeling on a Monday, do we think Tage Thompson plays Wednesday, or is it going to still kind of be this day-to-day thing they're doing?
I have not seen Tage Thompson since Monday, last Monday, so I have no idea. And even if I have seen him, you just don't know how he's going to feel. He thought he was going to play Wednesday. And then we talked to him on Saturday in Philadelphia. Everything was great. And then on Monday, he said, no, I kind of, I was competing. It's different than a morning skate. It's a competing practice. And I felt it. But he said, the good news is I took some treatment before I was talking to you guys. And that worked. It felt really good. They were thinking, all right, well, he's going to play Wednesday. And then on Wednesday, Lindy Ruff said, if he doesn't play Friday, he'll play Saturday. Or he'll probably play Saturday. And that didn't materialize. So he's still on the ice. It's not like I just think he's at a point right now where he can't get over the hump. Like Paterka, when Paterka had the concussion. He was practicing, and once he got back on the ice, he was practicing. But it took him two or three games to be able cleared to play. Whatever the reason was, there was just one step that he couldn't clear to get back in the lineup. And I think that's what Thompson's running into now. There's just one step that he can't get past to be able to, get back into the lineup. So who knows? I mean, we'll once he gets past whatever that is, he'll be there.
And we will find out, hopefully, on Wednesday. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. His reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. One other thing before we take a quick time out, I was looking through the rest of the Atlantic and how teams have been playing. Florida, by the way, Josh, they have lost three in a row. They've also lost five of their last six and have only picked up points in that win.
Oh.
They are not playing well.
Wow.
Losing two straight to New Jersey, 4-1, 6-2. Beat Winnipeg 5-0. Lose to Winnipeg 6-3, and then lost to Chicago 3-1, and Colorado 7-4. They play Washington tonight at 7. Washington, obviously, without Alexander Ovechkin. So they have been sitting at 25 points for a little bit here.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that. I knew they were lost three in a row. I didn't realize it was five out of the last six.
And that's also partially why their goal difference now at +2, Sabres at +4, and then Toronto +12. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.